First, there was supposed to be a national webinar yesterday with guidance on school closures. That virtual event intended to help school leaders around the country was to be hosted by the CDC and the American Association of School Administrators. Shortly before the scheduled start time, the CDC pulled out. Schools around Wisconsin and the United States have been closing to help stem the spread of the novel coronavirus, but our next guest reports that school leaders feel like they're not getting clear guidelines on how they should react to the outbreak. Aaron Richards is a national education reporter for USA Today. Aaron, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, glad to be here.
Well, let's start with that seminar, that webinar that wasn't. What happened?
So the School Superintendents Association that represents superintendents in big districts and small districts around the country was ready to get on the horn yesterday with the CDC to provide some more guidance about how schools should be shutting down completely or operating with kids spaced apart. At the moment, you have competing guidance from the Trump administration, which has said don't gather in groups larger than 10. The CDC has said no groups larger than 50. And any schools that are still open right now would technically be running, you know, afoul of that guidance. So the Superintendents Association was waiting for that guidance yesterday and alerted the media and superintendents to it. The call was canceled, likely because the CDC isn't ready to give guidance or they're not getting good guidance from the rest of the federal government. And so all the superintendents are still kind of going it alone at this point. They're making the best decisions they can based on their own, you know, what their own state leadership thinks. But there's no national guidance from above on how schools should be operating right now or not.
Right. Reading your reporting, Aaron, it sounds like this canceled webinar is just one manifestation of a big problem. People at the local level and maybe even at the state level trying to get clarity from a higher level. And in the meantime, just wrestling with the muddling through on decisions on their own. Is that a fair assessment of what many districts are seeing right now?
Yes. Now, education is inherently a local issue in America. But the problem is you've got school leaders and even state school chiefs that are desperately wanting some guidance from the federal government about how long to stay closed, about in what fashion they should operate. I was writing today, and we'll have a story going up shortly about how to serve kids with special needs, which is also a big question mark across America. And these things are all being, you know, wrestled with by local leaders in haphazard ways because there hasn't been good guidance from the federal government on it.
That said, Aaron, we know here in Wisconsin, schools have been closed down at the statewide level. What are we seeing around the country when it comes to school closures?
Well, we've got about 37 states that have shut down their schools entirely. Yesterday, we saw the first state in the nation to say that they were going to close schools for the rest of the school year. That's Kansas. In the meantime, you've got some school districts saying, we're not going to offer any online services. We're just going to wait this out and maybe make up the days at the end of the year. If the closures continue, that would increasingly be unlikely, and you'd see schools need to develop some kind of remote learning plan or distance learning plan. But, of course, that gets muddied because some kids have access to the Internet and a home learning device of some kind, and many kids don't, especially if they're low income or if they have other special circumstances that they're living under. So the reality now is most kids in the country are out of school. The question mark is, what are they actually doing during the day, and will they be able to do productive things through the end of the year if schools remain closed for a long time?
Is the Department of Education giving any guidance to help answer those questions, those issues of what do kids do on a day off of school? How do we keep them learning?
Very little. I've pressed them yesterday on that very issue, especially about the issue for kids with special needs. What is the guidance for districts here? What is the minimum they can provide? What are the options? There's limited guidance from the department. They want all kids to be served equitably if districts are offering any services at all. That also gets to be difficult. The how in that is much more difficult to parse out than the what. So there hasn't been a ton of really good information from districts coming from the federal government. And in lieu of that, you see districts trying all kinds of things. Los Angeles Unified is putting a bunch of programming on their local PBS channels for kids in elementary, middle, and high school. As at least a baseline from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., your kid can tune into a local PBS station and watch curated educational content all day long.
Aaron Richards is with us, national education reporter for USA Today. We're looking at the federal level now when it comes to school shutdowns, guidance from the Federal Department of Education and elsewhere on how schools can deal with the impact of the coronavirus outbreak. And elsewhere, there's concern about assessment testing, federally mandated, state mandated at some points. Are we getting guidance on whether it can be delayed, skipped, what?
We have gotten some guidance from the federal government. The Department of Education has said that they'll consider offering waivers for state testing. I predict with a pretty good sense in my gut that most states will not be doing state testing this year if schools stay shut down for more than a few weeks. I think it may just be a gap year where we don't have good statewide testing data. That's a little easier to skip. What's a little harder to skip is what to do with graduating seniors or rising students in high school that need to understand certain high-level content before they can enter the next grade. So what's going to happen with the credits of, graduating seniors and, rising upperclassmen to determine where they're going to be at in their education if schools stay closed down for a prolonged period?
Aaron, you also have been reporting on how this is going to impact low-income students in particular. What kind of things are you looking at?
Well, accessibility is a big one. So we know that only about half of kids in America have access to both broadband internet and a home learning device of some kind, an iPad, a laptop. Even in some wealthier households, you may have one laptop for a kid to use, but if you've got three kids and you don't have three laptops, how does everybody stay connected for multiple hours during the day? It's a real accessibility issue if you've got, kids that can't learn independently. We've also got an issue with kids that are quite young. Even people who advocate for online learning don't say that it's a great idea to put kindergarten students and first graders and second graders in front of a screen for too many hours a day. And at the same time, you've got a whole new landscape of parents who are working from home, who are trying to manage their own work responsibilities and their children's learning activities. And that's putting a whole bunch of new pressures on families that we haven't seen before in this capacity.
Speaking of accessibility, you mentioned this briefly earlier. Students with various kinds of special needs, students who might be on an individualized education plan, what are the concerns for them if we're in this uncharted world of cobbling together an online educational system?
The worry is the most vulnerable kids in America, who are kids in extraordinary circumstances, either because they have physical disabilities or mental disabilities, perhaps they're living in a homeless shelter, just disadvantage in general, extremely low income, that these kids are already the most vulnerable kids we have. They already tend to be the kids that are farthest behind in their studies and the least likely to graduate and go on to productive careers after school. So what's going to happen to them if they fall even farther behind? This whole world that we're in now is exacerbating the divide between kids who are fairly well-resourced, that have access to the internet, that can, learn independently and do some guided instruction at home. It actually presents a world of opportunities for teachers to experiment with what virtual learning can look like. But for kids who are disadvantaged, there isn't as much guidance for how to help them. And especially family members aren't as trained as teachers are, especially in big districts, at helping these kids. So the worry there is that these kids fall behind and they don't get back on track in a timely manner.
From what you've heard from the Department of Education, what kind of time frame are they talking about? Are they talking about what we're doing in the next 2 weeks or what we're doing in the next 4 months or the next year if these disruptions continue?
They have been, at the federal level, at the Department of Education, very reluctant to put any kind of time frame or timeline on this thing, not even saying, if this, then that. Where I hear more of that discussion happening is among governors and state school chiefs in different states that are saying, this is what it's going to look like if we shut down for 3 or 4 months. You've got some districts that are just trying to wait it out for a couple of weeks and see if maybe this thing blows over and they don't have to develop, online learning plans for everybody. You've also got some districts that don't particularly want to put an online remote learning plan out there if they don't know how to serve special needs kids, because then they can run afoul of federal laws that require them to offer equitable access to all students. So all these things are points of discussion, but they're all happening at sort of the state and district-wide level, which means that there's just a lot of variability from state to state about the experiences that parents and kids are getting right now.
Given, as you say, the Federal Department of Education isn't necessarily the agency that's going to call the shots, is the experience you're going to have as a student, as a parent right now, just conditioned on what state you live in, what district you live in?
I do. I think it's dependent on that. I also think it's dependent on how much access you have to the ability to learn online independently and what your family structure is like, you know, who's around you and what kinds of activities or resources can you access. But absolutely, we're seeing a lot of variability from state to state and district to district, even within states. And another interesting aspect of this is that even among higher resourced communities, communities right next to each other, even in Wisconsin, where most kids are, you know, middle class and higher, even some of those districts don't have learning plans in place for kids to learn remotely. And so you're seeing a lot of variability even among the wealthier districts in the state that are, you know, we're more kids are on track and performing at grade level.
In our last few moments, Aaron, what is the next piece of the story you're watching for?
After we talk today and tomorrow about the variability and sometimes lack of services altogether for special needs students, I think we'll be taking another look at sort of large-scale efforts to provide more robust learning experiences for kids. I'm also interested to see how much these mass distribution of devices, you know, iPads and laptops to students, as well as these efforts, many of them backed by corporate telecom companies to provide internet access to kids. I'm really interested in how those will play out. Also interested to see if those will last in any real capacity after this immediate health crisis is over.
Aaron, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Of course. Thank you.
That's USA Today national education reporter Aaron Richards. We talked to her today about school leaders across the country looking for additional COVID-19 guidance from the CDC and Department of Education. Coming up on Friday, we'll talk to a pediatrician and literacy advocate about how to keep kids engaged and learning at home during the coronavirus outbreak. And later today, we'll talk to Wisconsin's Deputy State Superintendent of Public Instruction about what's happening here in Wisconsin.